Today's call is being recorded. You may go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. Welcome to the IP Party call on Monday, 27th May. On the call today, we have Angie Graves, Mikey O'Connor, James Bladel, and Bartlett Morgan. We have apologies from Jill Titzer, Simonetta Battege, Bob Mountain, Holly Raish, Alan Greenberg, Avery Doyle, Michaeli Nealon, Christian Durain, Barbara Knight, and Volker Grainman. We have from staff Lars Hoffman and Marika Konings and myself, Julia Chavelin. May I remind all participants to please state their names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you.
Okay, thank you, and welcome everyone to a special holiday edition of the IRTPD working group. Would note that we have a small group today, but we are attempting to push forward in our agenda. Can we just briefly leave a note here if anyone has any updates to their SOI? Okay. No hands and no one trying to get in the queue for that. We have an agenda, but as Mikey and staff were discussing before the start of the call, we have such a light attendance this time around that we would perhaps dispense with our normal agenda and take a look at some of the more administrative or housekeeping type items that need to be accomplished just to keep the working group progressing. I don't know if that will take the entire hour. Mikey, did you have a hit list of things that you wanted to cover in that regard? Or
This is Mikey. What I was thinking is that, you know, we've been taking notes both through the input review tool that's up on the screen, but also I've been doing stuff in the background in this gigantic mind map. And I was thinking that maybe what we could do is start sketching sort of the summary of these comments for sort of in anticipation of the Durban meeting. And since, you know, it's a pretty small group, you know, we could do this without wasting the whole working group's time. So take that opportunity on today's call. And as you say, sort of do more of a housekeeping sort of thing rather than a true working group session.
Okay, thanks, Mikey. I'm fine with that. I see we picked up Chris Chappell and Rob Golding as well, so welcome to a small group today, gentlemen. My only question or thought is that we haven't completed the review, so we would only be going through, looks like, page 5, comment number 8. Is that what you're thinking as well, Mikey?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking is if we just got a bit of a head start on this, you know, it's something we have to do at some point, and since it's mostly just us, maybe we get through as much of it as we can and then give the rest of the working group something to review rather than grinding through it on a call where we have a lot of people there who, you know, while they may want to chip in on the summary, they might find it easier to just read one.
I'm okay with that idea. Would you want to take the lead on that, Mikey, and start us off with item number one, or do you want us to progress in a different way?
Angie, Bartlett, Chris, Rob, what do you guys think about that idea? I mean, this, you're more than welcome to stay, but it's not the usual deal. It's more of a summarizing kind of thing. Any big objections to that? I mean, the other option is to essentially cancel the call and just wait till next week. But I was thinking that it might be an opportunity to slip some administrivia in that we're going to have to do at some point. Chris, go ahead. I'll just take the cue for a minute.
Yeah, I would agree, Mikey. Rather than cancel the call, we've lost a few. With it being, I realise now, with it being Mondays, it's not perhaps not the best day for a working group because we do lose a few in the year. So I came in late, I'm afraid, so I did miss exactly what you were proposing, but it sounded from the second half of it okay for me.
Yeah, it's a holiday in the U.S., Chris, and so we've taken a huge hit in terms of attendance. And, you know, sort of traditionally what we would do is, long before now, we would have canceled the call, but we had a little chat via email that said, let's just keep going, and we'll, rather than doing substance, we'll sort of do summarizing and see if we can pull some themes out of the comments that we've had so far. Summarize those in a way that doesn't lose anything, but moves us forward in terms of getting ready for Durban and then on to writing the initial report. Okay. Do you want me to run this call, James? Because I can if you want.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, just one parting question here before I drop into a participant mode. Are we working solely from the comment review tool? Are we also pulling in the mind map as well? What are our source materials here?
I thought what I would do is I'd grab control of the screen in a minute and put the mind map up. Julia or Lars or Marika, could one of you guys send me this version of the mind map in something that I can cut and paste from? Because I was thinking I might do is sort of staple in things from both sources into a new chunk of the mind map, and then we could push that back the other way. I'm not exactly sure about the mechanics, so if I had, I think a Word version of that summary review tool would be great, because then if it seems easier to summarize it in the actual tool, I could just switch over to that rather than doing it in the mind map. Actually, that might be a better deal. So,
hello, Mikey. This is Lars. I'm sending it through the email right now, so the files are not that small, so it might take a minute or two, but they're on their way to you. The Word version as well as the mind maps. The Word version of the review tool, that is, and the mind maps in various formats.
Yeah, it's the review tool that I'm really hot for. So the mind maps have come, and so you sent the mind maps first, right?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Well, let me grab the screen. Coming. That going. Takes a few clicks to get that running. There's the Word version. Cool. That going. Screen. We didn't get a lot of comments on the first one. You can see that in the mind map. But I took a few notes. Might want to add to I think I'll just I'm gonna pull a mind map out of the way. Bigger. Looks, is that readable for people? It's readable for me, but I have a big monitor. So, shout out if it's, I'm getting a tick mark that it's okay. All right, so here we go. Run my mouse. Okay, so what we've got in the review tool so far you can see is that that the BC is restating the charter question in the affirmative. Let me show you what I wrote for notes. That's very small. Hold on a minute. The notes that I took on that one are quite old. So the one substantive thing is that registries are in favor of eliminating a step in the process. Can't remember what we were talking about there. What we said in our response was that the registry's opinion should be considered especially important since this is mostly their job. Actually, we've got quite a lot of content there. This will change the view. So what I was thinking is, this was a summary of our conversation. And maybe what we could do is sort of highlight the ones that we think are pretty important. And highlight those. For example, we could go through they're supportive, that standardized case data is important,
Mikey. This is James.
Yeah, go ahead, James.
So I think that the key thing that struck me about the registry comment here, and maybe it's something that we need to confirm, that's the intent from Barbara when we get the larger group package, that the registry is talking about removing their level entirely. So they're talking about, I mean, a fundamental restructuring of the TDRP. I think it's the fourth bullet point from the bottom there about, you know, there's the informal registrar. Yeah, that one. There's the informal registrar process, and then there's the second-level dispute provider process, and then the registry process, which right now is either your optional first step or escalation step, is what they're saying should be removed. And I think that is a huge rewrite, I think, of the TDRP. If that is exactly what they're proposing.
Yeah, and so maybe, you know, this is a key, be what we're doing today. Is identifying key discussion points for the group. Because, you know, that wouldn't be a bad way to walk into Durban. Is to say, essentially, there's support for this idea. However, there are some things that we want the group to focus on in their discussion, which is sort of what I was hearing you say, James. And I tend to agree that, you know, I'm not necessarily in disagreement with the idea, but it's an important thing for the group to focus on. Maybe that's a way to handle this call. Is to,
yeah,
find things that we really want to drill in on in subsequent discussions.
Yeah, those things, I mean, controversial is not the right word, but those things that are going to be significant changes or big topics.
About something like that. Is that readable? I haven't been looking at the screen. Tell you what, James, what would be cool is if you did the queue, because it turns out that with all the screen landscape that I'm using, I'm
the queue is
not looking at the Adobe Connect. So if I'll continue to sort of natter on, but if you see people wanting to jump in, and because it's such a small call, yeah, people shouldn't be shy about interrupting me the way James did either, I think. But anyway, yeah, I think that's right on. I think I like standardizing case data. I think that's something we might want to put in our report, because that's certainly, that non-standard data certainly caused Lars a fair amount of hair pulling trying to get this stuff into a format that we can analyze. I'm also kind of interested in the, I'm going to do this way. I think we might have more than one key discussion point. I think another one is the impact of, you know, you know, right now it's, tell you what, I'll type those, and then if you don't like them, just yell at me.
No, I think that's correct.
Get up there and highlight the context of that.
So is that, I'm sorry to interrupt, but is that what they're saying, because the number of registries are going to increase, the process shouldn't live at that level anymore, but it should be the registrar level and the secondary provider level?
I'm not sure I saw that causality.
I didn't really get that either. That's why,
yeah,
I was asking.
Yeah, I'm leaving those as sort of separate discussion points, because I think they're related, but not, I don't think there's causality flowing either way on that one. It's just something to talk about. And, you know, we may see that. But I think that they would be proposing, and again, we'll have to check with them, I bet they'd propose this even if the number of GTLDs wasn't changing. I think they want to get the registries out of this.
Well, so then that raises the question of why. Do they believe it's not appropriate, or do they believe, because, I mean, it starts to look contradictory. The volume is too low, let's get the registries out of this, but the registries are going to increase, so the volume might go up. So I think you're right. I think we need to just kind of drive down at what they're,
right,
what they're driving at with this.
Well, and the thing is that, you know, if you take a low-volume process and now you spread it across a whole bunch of registries, I could make a case where those go together, because you could say, okay, so except for .com, you know, a registry that sees one or two disputes a year, it's hard to maintain a process at that low a volume and do a good job at it.
Unless
so,
the process is actually
also
provided for.
Marika's in the queue. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, and so's Rob.
Rick. I think one of the considerations was that basically you would have a lot of new registries coming aboard, and I think if I recall well, having seen that comment quite some time ago, I think it made partly as well like that it may be difficult for them to get familiar with it and set up the infrastructure to deal with it, you know, going forward. So I think that's part of their consideration of suggesting taking the registry operator out of the equation. And I don't know, I don't recall that, but I don't know if it linked to as well a possible consideration that, of course, if it would open up to registrants, the volume may, of course, change over time. So, but it's, again, this is what I recall from having seen the comments a long time ago, and I'm sure Barbara or some of the other registries would be able to provide more insights, but I think that was a little bit the gist of it.
Yeah, I think that's right. Rob, jump right in.
Yeah, I mean, if the issue is that there's a concern over newbie registries, for want of a better description, not necessarily applying the same rules as those that have an established policy or process, shouldn't the simple answer be that before you go live, you get handed a big wedge of paper that's got some flowcharts of these are the processes you must follow, and we give them the TDRP policy, or I can give them the TDRP policy, and goes, that's the TDRP policy. You start at the box at the top, and you work down the yeses and nos till you get to the bottom.
Yeah, I mean, that's another approach. I think what, you know, I'll pretend to be the registries and say that, you know, I would think that if we anticipate that the volume is going to stay this low, and, you know, if we take a Dot Asia as an example, where they're kind of cruising along at 200,000 names, maybe a little less than that now, and .com is at 120 million or whatever it is, then the odds that some of these registries are going to see this procedure ever starts to get pretty thin. And so here's an organization that's got this complicated procedure that they have to execute maybe once a year. The odds that there's going to be consistency in that are pretty bad. And so maybe what we ought to do is aggregate that very low volume into one place. And in this case, I think what they're saying is, you know, push it up to the second level providers and take these now very large number of registries sort of out of the process altogether. Anyway, I think for purposes of this call, we've done our job on this one, which is found a couple of key discussion points. We certainly don't want to resolve this one today because we haven't gotten anywhere near the right people on the call to do it. I think my thought for this call was just to find the tasty bits and highlight them for our future work. And we've certainly found that. Is there anything else in the comments and our summary of those comments that we want to add to this? You know, if we sort of say that our goal for today is to get a set of key discussion points for each of these. Is there anything else in our summary that we want to pick up?
Yeah, Mikey, James here, just that there's one here, the second to the last bullet point, which just says, let's take a, and we've touched on this, I think, in a number of calls, is taking this holistic view of TDRP, what it's doing, who's using it, what it's supposed to be solving, as opposed to tinkering with it, you know, maybe look at it more of a, in need of a end-to-end overhaul. And I think that's something that we've discussed, but here it's echoed somewhat in the registry comment.
What on earth is going on here? All I want to do is paste, little buddy. I don't want to do anything complicated here. Oh, I see what's going on. Never mind. Hold on while I type.
No problem. Queue's still clear.
There. I'm getting closer. I've never used this view before. And I think I got it. Wow. I have no freaking idea what's going on. Hold on a minute. I'm going to back up. I'm going to change views. Sorry, folks, but this is just too freaking weird. For not being able to operate my word processor.
It's funny, actually. I'm about 3 seconds behind, so I hear you frustrated, say something frustrated, and then like a second later I see what's frustrating.
Again, all I wanted to do was copy and paste another bullet in there and turned into this giant federal case. Sorry about that. Actually, I think I know what I was doing wrong, so I'm going to go back to that view so that we can still see more. I'm also going to totally screw up your format, Lars. Sorry. That's why you get paid the big bucks. All right, so now see sort of all of it. All right, I think that's enough on that one. Let's try another one. See how I hold up. Now, this one's going to be harder because we had more to say. Oh, it's not too bad. It almost fits on one page. I wonder if I can squish it out. Current bandwidth may not be high enough. Oh, shush. Be quiet. Adobe's whining at me because I'm... All right, so let's see what we got here. Should additional provision. This is... Okay, so this is charter question B. And comments from the PC and the registries, which almost fit on the screen, but not quite. So we'll highlight the PC ones first and then do our summary at the bottom. So this is the multiple transfers. So this is clearly one. That we might want to put on our discussion topics list, right? The whole 60-day thing, just like we did the last time.
Mikey, can I jump in?
Jump right in, because I'm reading. I'm not looking at the,
okay,
at the room, so... Go ahead.
Yeah, so I think, you know, we had some good discussions here. I think in general we've identified that TDRP is another process that is or policy that is undermined by this practice of registrar hopping in the case of the hijack name. I think we, you know, we've already identified, I think, through other instances of IRTP working groups that this is a this is an optional lock, not a mandatory lock. And I think that the problem was that you know, folks wanted this to remain at the discretion of the registrar, and we didn't want to, or there was some resistance to the idea that it would that we would have some sort of a overarching period where we would allow someone to claw back a name from an innocent purchaser.
Right.
But I think what this is starting to come down to, and this is where we started talking about, well, are we, is it within scope for this group to go back and revisit some of the, you know, issues from previous working groups? And I think one of the questions that I have is, do we see that it's an either-or proposition, that either we make a 60-day lock mandatory or we allow some sort of a period for clawbacks, because right now we have neither, and is that the crux of the problem? And I'm not saying that it is or isn't. I'm just saying is there a linear relationship between those two things? And that's mainly a question for, I think, the aftermarket folks who, you know, at least traditionally, raise their concerns about how this impacts their the economics of their industry.
I picked that clawback stuff and also the 6 month thing out so far. And, you know, another way to do it is locking from future.
Yeah, and I think that helps it from continuing to hop. That stops the hopping, but it doesn't prevent it in the first place.
Yeah, I think that the TDRP, though, is the horse is already out of the barn process. I'm not sure.
Exactly.
That, you know, I don't think this is much in terms of prevention. In you know.
No, and it's even not a, it's actually even not a very good cure either, because it's so slow and so long. It's really not all that useful in case of a hijack where damages are measured in the hours.
I like this business of being able to bowl stuff. All right, so let's make up our topics for further discussion thing. Said before, key discussion points. Don't understand that blinking that it does. But all right, so. It sounds like there's locking and one. trying to summarize this notion that there's up in the comments, there's conversation about, you know, all registrars in the chain should, and then there's this 6 months notion.
Did I lose you?
No, I'm just being uncharacteristically quiet.
Oh, okay. All right. I didn't know if I was still on the call.
No, I was just editing there. I'm not sure if that... Have I missed any of the really juicy bits in that set of comments that we made? Let's take that as a first try and then move on to the next one. Oh, nice. This one's nice and short. Okay, this is the one about options for registrants. And this is the fine. Now, what's the deal with this one? Is this one of the ones we need to go back to the council and reopen? I thought we had this discussion in a previous...
Yeah, if memory serves, we reinforced, and I think it was IRTPA, we reinforced the idea that the registrant can overrule the admin contact. So if the admin contact requests and approves a transfer, and then the registrant comes back later and says, I don't approve this transfer, put it back. But that was legitimate. I think where it gets sticky is that in the thin registry, again, thin registries kind of being the curveball in this whole thing, is that the new registrar may not know who the registrant was previously. So, so I think that's where this one got a little sticky. Now, I think that the response or the comment from the BC actually is addressing perhaps a slightly different issue, which is should this be left to the discretion of the registrar to initiate the process? And I think they're saying fairly affirmatively that registrants should be able to initiate this process.
Yeah, so maybe this isn't the right place for that. You're right. I do wish that this thing wouldn't do that. Apologize. So our comment, so what we highlight, this.
Through proceedings, yeah. Or when the registrar declined. Yeah, so that's an interesting, I would say we capture that, yes. That would be an interesting discussion of how that would work. Let's assume that the registrar is declining to initiate, then perhaps they have a good reason. But let's not, we won't speculate in this call.
Right, yeah. No, I think what we do is we just pull out the juicy topics.
Sure.
For now. And
I think that it's often the case that we'll just by default assume that it's, that the registrar, is lazy or doesn't want to get involved. But there could be a good reason why the registrar believes that the
No, I think that's right. I think it's clearly one that we want to pick up again. Okay, so then there's the registry comment. And they have the phrase dispute options, which is kind of an interesting one.
Now, I'm sorry to jump in. If I could point back to their first response, the registry's first response, it seems like the only avenue, if registries are saying that this mechanism should be available directly and that they, registries, should be out of the picture, should either be registrars who have already declined, and second-level providers, then it seems like, reading between the lines, the registries are saying that the registrant should be able to contact second-level providers to initiate this process. Does that stand to reason with everyone?
Yeah, that's one way to put those pieces together, for sure. Clear avenue to... And then they go on to say, because the gaming is okay, we're not gonna analyze. We're just gonna say tasty topic.
Yeah. I think reading this one in conjunction with the previous comment, it seems like it would have to go to the second level provider. And then I think that the concern that the registry's raised does come into bearing, which is how does the second level provider know the parties are legitimate, but yeah, let's capture those.
Where we can do the then who is thing.
And just to jump in, the queue is clear and we are down to 10 minutes.
Oh, thank you. Okay. Let's just see what else we want to... pick out of this one. Pick that off. I'll give you a preview of the thick-who-is result that you can almost bet on, but never over till it's over, but we're very close to consensus on a finding to require a thick who is in all registries. So be helpful. All right, let's see how much we've got.
I don't think that's a surprise, but I think the question, well, I'm not a participant in that group, so I'll zip it. But I think how to get from here to there is a good question.
Oh, you know, it turns out it's at least technically and mechanically not that tough. You know, it could be as simple as go registrar by registrar and just load off of the latest copy of the escrowed data.
Ooh,
may not be that.
No, I think there's some. Yeah, I think there's some rules under which we have to allow ICANN to decrypt that. I'm not sure. This would be a new one.
Oh, it's encrypted. Oh, interesting.
So, anyway. Just a thought.
Well, anyway, yeah, something like that. You know, for a while...
It's bad enough trying to get your escrow data back out of them when you want to verify that it's worked.
Don't you hate backup systems that you can't get the data out of? I hate
that. Right.
Yeah, I get that. Okay, this is the one on making information available to people as to how they do it, making their choices available. Theses for it. I'm trying to find the key discussion in this.
Yeah, I think... if I could jump in here, I think our where we were starting to land on this one was that obviously the registrar should be informed. The registrant should be informed by their registrar of their options.
Right.
Whatever they may be.
I'm trying to find the places that we need to beat on. You know, I think there's pretty much.
The question was where and how. Is this a website thing? Is this a terms of? Is this a registration agreement thing? Is this a
That's helpful.
Support article thing. You know, where? How do we do it?
I hate Microsoft Word products. Lars, I'm going to leave this pile of crap for you to figure out. You lucky dog. So I got the first half of that, James, and then I was busy being frustrated by Word and missed the second half. You were saying the key question is where is this data and something? And, you know, you mentioned the registrar agreement.
We threw out some ideas. I don't know if they were in a particular order. The registrar website, the registrar registration agreement, or I think one of the other options was help and support materials. And there was also a mention, I think, during the conversation of a TBD or perhaps it's already out there, a site that was proposed in other groups, I think PEDNR by ALAC, that there would be this education site, should it live there, if that thing ever gets off the runway.
I don't know. We could, you know, we could call it a holiday and give ourselves 4 minutes off. What do you think, James?
I was just going to call 3 minute warning. So if this is the last, well, I'm not barbecuing, okay? Because we're getting something like 3 inches of rain every 24 hours. So
yeah, it's terrible here too.
But I do believe, though, if I'm not mistaken, this is the last one where we actually have comments. We still have to go through number 9 and number 10. So
So we're caught up.
We couldn't go any further anyway, Mikey, without the rest of the group.
What happens when you keep your nose right down in front of your shoes and not looking at the road? Good. Good deal. Was this a good process for folks, or was this just a total waste of time? I'm really looking to the quiet folks on the call on this one.
Just my two cents is, we made more progress than nothing, and nothing was probably what was staring us in the face with a canceled call, so I think it always beats nothing.
That's true. I saw Kevin's hand. Kevin? Who? Yeah, Kevin's hand go up and down. Anybody else got any ideas on this? I don't feel compelled to talk. I was just curious. I'm looking back at the chat. Wow. Okay, let's call it a day. I'm done. I'll save a copy. Lars, you're stuck with figuring out how to turn this formatting back into what it used to be. That's it for me.
Thanks, Mikey. I don't have anything extra, so everyone have a great day, and we'll chat next week.
Terrific. Thanks, gang.
Thanks, Mikey. Bye-bye.
Thanks, gang.
Okay. Take care.
Thank you. This concludes today's call. You may go ahead and disconnect at this time.